All right, welcome to Hebrew Club, everybody. And this is going to be our last one for a couple weeks. We will probably start it up when the new term starts up in 2 weeks, and then probably at least go through June at least for the summer. So we'll have 4, maybe 5 more sessions during the summer. So we can get a little farther in 2 Samuel. And we're about ready to start chapter 14. All right, and this actually continues the story that we saw before, where the king started missing Absalom, remember, who was kind of in exile. And so we're going to pick it up at chapter 14, verse 1, and see how far we get. Vayeda Yoav ben Zeruiah, kilev hamelek alav shalom. Now Joab knew, Joab the son of Zeruiah, remember this was David's nephew, Joab knew that the heart of the king was on Solomon. So notice after a verb of perception like yada, you very often have a key clause as an object clause. He knew that the heart of the king was on Avshalom. So Joab's pretty smart here. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa, vayikach mishamish hakama, vayomer eleha hit ablina velivshina vigde evel, ve'al ta suki shemen, ve'hayit ke'isha ze yamim rabim mit abelet al mate. Okay. So Joab sent from Shalach to Tekoa. This is a place, Tekoa. Okay, to Tekoa. Vayikach, and he brought from there a isha chokama, a wise woman. I think we probably translate it as a clever woman. I don't know. This must be someone he knew. I don't know. And he said to her, hit ablina. Notice that this is from the root aval, and it's a hit pael. Aval means to mourn. But in the hit pael, it means to act like one who's mourning. And remember, this was the same word that we used in the previous chapter for David, who really was mourning. Here, the emphasis is on act. Okay. So he said to her, please act like someone who is in mourning. Velivshinan, please dress. This is again just a simple call imperative, feminine singular from lavash. Okay, and so act like someone who's mourning and dress in the big day avel, in the garments of mourning. Okay, ve'al tasuki, and do not anoint. This is just a call imperfect from suk. All right, feminine singular from suk, a hollow verb, and do not anoint with oil, shemen. Or do not pour oil, and then understand on yourself. Okay. Vehayit. This is second feminine singular, and so notice you have al plus these imperative. I'm sorry. You have imperative al plus that imperfect form, and now a vav plus perfect, and they're all kind of imperative force. Okay. And be as a woman, keisha. Now you have to understand asher, who. Now look at this for this next number of words. Zeh yamim rabim. Sometimes in temporal phrases, notice the zeh precedes sometimes numbers or a phrase like this, like yamim, and it means it's like this demonstrative adverb. Here or now, be as a woman who now for many days mit abel has been in mourning. So you would probably translate that ze yamim rabim like now many days, or and be like a woman who for a long time now. See, it's kind of very woodenly, this many days. But notice that it precedes this plural, and it's not ela, it's ze. So it's kind of functioning like an adverb, and you translate it as now or already in certain contexts, something like that. So be like a woman who, for a long time now, is mourning, mit abelet. Now notice here, truly, who is playing the part of a mourner over mate, the dead. And here's just a simple call participle from moot. Okay? Any questions on verse 2. I think the only thing kind of interesting there is that ze yamim rabim, and of course the use of the hit pael to play at, to act. All right. Yes, Will.
This imperative above hayah.
Yes.
Is that supposed to be feminine singular?
Yeah, actually that's a vav plus perfect form. It's not an imperative. And okay. it's a second feminine singular. It's just like go and say, and sometimes you'll have like lake ve'amarta. So you have the vav plus perfect following an imperative. So I just want to show you that following the string of imperatives, play the part of a mourner, dress in the garments of mourning, don't anoint yourself. Rather than having another imperative, he has vav plus perfect. He switches. And so you can, after strings of imperatives, you can have strings of imperatives. You can have imperative, imperative, vav plus perfect, or something like that. Okay. Hey, Jim, we are on 2 Samuel 14, and we're just starting verse 3. Okay. All right, good. Any other questions through 2? All right, verse 3. Now, notice he continues with the vav plus perfects. Uvat el hamelech ve'dibart elav kadavar hazeh v'yasem yoav et hadavarim bepiha. So notice that uvat, that is from bo, vav plus perfect, second feminine singular. So he says, do all these things, and then go to the king. Now again, second feminine singular, PL ved debart, and say to him, kadavar hazeh, say to him according to this word. Okay, we would probably say, tell him this. Okay, and so now notice how the author kind of summarizes. And Joab vayasem put the words in her mouth. And that vayasem is from seem, and this time it's a hifil, third masculine singular, vav consecutive imperfect, vayasem, and it shortens to vayasem. So again, and go to the king and tell him according to this word. Then Joab put the words in her mouth. So in other words, he told her what she was supposed to say. Okay? Any question on verse 3? Yeah, Will.
How do you teach your students how to translate a vav plus perfect?
Well, yeah, the vav plus perfects, like, notice here we're getting contextual clues, and really one of the things you have to look at is what is the force of how you judge the speaker to be speaking. Is he making a promise? Then you would translate as, and this will happen, or and you will do this, or something like that. Is he giving a command, which is how I've interpreted it here? Sometimes the vav plus perfect you have to translate as a past tense. If you're in a context in which the author is obviously speaking about some past event. And whether it, you know, in good standard, we've seen this before, in good standard Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, where you might expect a vav consecutive imperfect, more sometimes when there's maybe dialect or a more colloquial form, you get vav plus perfects. And you see that coming through every once in a while, whether it's that is the reason you see some of them where you wouldn't expect them or not. Like we saw with 2 Samuel 7, you know, and certain other places where you expect a vav consecutive, you don't, you get a vav plus perfect. So it might be dialect or just the manuscript tradition. You know, there's a lot of possibilities as to why those strange ones appear. The general rule that Bartelt says, it's kind of a wild card, whatever you see before it. And that's not a bad general rule. It seems to kind of hold most of the time.
So it's more context-driven than a vav plus imperfect.
Well, I would say even that, you're always trying to figure out what the context is and what, how, you know. In other words, you can't, I don't think, interpret any verb totally apart from the context. Otherwise, you're always making decisions about how to translate based on what you think the speaker is doing, what the force of it is, what the other verbs around it, how you interpreted those or translated, that kind of thing.
So why would they even make the distinction between vav plus perfect, vav plus imperfect? Why would they use the two?
Why, yeah. I think that it's just like any language. Any given verb has more than one meaning. And so notice that even in English, different people may prefer different verbs for different situations, whether it's lexical or morphology. Certain situations, you might speak in a more slang. You might speak in a higher register. You know, if you're from a different part of the country, the way that you pronounce and what you use is going to be different. You might be speaking in idiomatic fashion, you know, things like that. All of those kinds of things go into determine why you use certain forms. You know, you have to also reckon with the manuscript tradition. You know, did scribes, as they were translating, if something didn't sound right to their ear, did they make changes or not? You know, that's a thing. So you'll kind of see variation between different books of the Bible, too, as to what verbs occur. I mean, so, for example, one guy says, you have a string of imperative. If you want to give a command, why not have all imperatives? Why switch to a vowel plus perfect second masculine, which you commonly have? And in his study, he could find no big semantic difference between them because they occur in a lot of places where you could have one or the other. And so some grammarians want to make a distinction between them and some don't. And I think that the evidence he gave was pretty persuasive that it's hard to see the semantic difference between those. It seems like a variation that you can have that, at least from our perspective, it's hard to discern the meaning. You know?
Thanks for explaining.
Yeah. Verse 4 then. Vayomer ha'isha ha'tekoit el ha'melek va'tipol al apeha arza va'tishtachu va'tomer hoshia ha'melek. Now notice how it just skips, because it skips the whole thing about her going to the king. It just goes from, he told her what to say, now verse 4. And the woman, the Tekoite woman, said to the king. See, all of a sudden we're right there. Now notice, though, that in your text, the Masoretic, the first verb of verse 4 has vayomer. But if you go down to 14 verse 4a, many manuscripts, including the Septuagint, the Syriac, some Targum manuscripts, the Vulgate, instead of va tomer, have va tavo, and she went, which makes more sense. And the woman went to the king. See? Because otherwise, notice how the Masoretic text, and the woman said to the king, and she fell on her face to the ground. See, now you'd have to translate that va yipol like this. The woman, the Tekoite woman, went to the king. Now, she had fallen on her face to the ground and bowed down, and she said. See? So a lot of people go with the Septuagint and have, instead of Vatomer, Vatava. And she went, the woman went to the king, and she fell on her face to the ground, and she did obeisance, so she worshipped. Vatish Tahu. Okay? So notice that vatipol is a first nun from nafal, call imperfect vav consecutive. And then the va tish tachavu is from chava, chet, vav, he, the only hish tafail, and it occurs commonly with this root. And this is actually, notice, a third feminine singular from chava, and the he is dropped off. It's shortened there. All right. So then the last part of that verse, and she said, Hoshia Hamelek. This is from Yasha, Hifil, imperative, masculine singular. The hey at the end is what you very often see on some imperative verbs. Like you can have lake for go, or laka, kum kuma. Here you have Hoshia. Okay? And you translate something like help Hamelek, O king. Here's you have evocative. Help, O king. And we would probably say in English, help me, O king. Okay? Questions through 4? Everybody got it? All right, we start a new paragraph. Verse 5. Vayomer lahamelech malak. Vatomer aval isha almana ani vayamat ishi. And he said to her, the king said to her, malak, what is your problem? So you notice this is an idiom. Idiomatic phrase, malak, what's up with you? But he wouldn't say that. How can I help you? Or what's going on? Or something like that. And she said, aval. This means, yeah. She, aval, truly, an isha almana, a woman, a widow woman, ani. See, an isha almana ani. A woman, a widow woman am I. Vayamat ishi. And my husband has died. Call imperfect from moot. Okay, and my husband has died. All right, now verse 6. Ule shif chatika sheni banim, va yinatsu shnehem, basadeh. Ve'ein matzil b'nehem v'yako ha'echad et ha'echad v'yamet oto. Okay. And to your handmaid, this is from Shifcha, okay, and to your handmaid, there were two sons, Shnei Banim. We would say, your handmaid has two sons. All right. Vayinatsu, Shneihem. Okay, that Vayinatsu is from Nun Tzadi Hei, Natsa. And it means to fight. And notice that this is a Niphal. You know that it's a Niphal because of the big comets under the Nun. All right. And of course, the assimilated Nun leaves the dagesh in that Nun preceded by a short vowel. And the two of them fought or struggled. Vayinatsu. The two of them struggled. This is the same word that's used in the legal sections of the Torah. Like if two men struggle and strike a pregnant woman and her children come out of her, you know what the damages are. So same root. So the two of them struggled. Basadeh. They had an argument in the field. And by the way, that doesn't occur in the call. I think it's the Niphal and Hifil only. So the two of them struggle in the field. And there was no matzil. There was no referee. There was no mediator. There was no one to stop it. See, so ve'ein matzil b'nehem. There was no matzil between them. No, I don't know what's the best. Not referee is not the right one. We would probably say there was no one to stop them or no one to come between them. See? Okay. Vayako ha'echad, and the one struck. This is a hifil from naka. Okay? And notice the O, the third masculine singular suffix on naka. So it's a vav consecutive imperfect, and this is one of those roots that almost totally disappears in the vav consecutive. The only root letter left is the kaf. And the one struck him, et ha'echad, namely the other. Vayamet oto, and he killed him. That yamet is a hifil from moot. You know it's a hifil because of the e-vowel, the segol, rather than the a-vowel under the mem. So it's a shortened form of yamit, becomes yamet. And he killed him. Okay. Questions through 6. All right. Verse 7. Vehine kama kol hamishpacha al shifchateka. Vayomru teni et make achiv unemitehu beneshef achiv asher harag venashmida gam et hayoresh vekibu et gachalti asher nishara. Le vilti seem lei shi shame u sheirit al peneha adama. Okay, and we'll stop here for today. Now look. All the mishpacha, all the family rose, comma, this is from kum, third feminine singular. All the family rose up against your handmaid, shifchateka, vayomru, and they said, teni, give, call imperative, feminine singular from Natan. Give make, the one who struck his brother. This make, notice, is a hifil participle from naka. Masculine singular, and it's in construct. So it's hand over the striker of his brother. Or we would say, hand over the one who struck his brother, u nehmitehu, that we may put him to death. That's from meat, notice, and it is a hifil, first common plural. And there's a shva under the nun because of the third masculine singular suffix at the end. The accent is moved over there. All right. So hand over the one who struck his brother so that we might put him to death, ben nefesh achiv, in exchange for the life of his brother, whom harag, he killed. Okay. Venashmidagam et hayoresh, and so we might destroy. This is from Shamad, and it is again, a hifil, first common plural. All right? And, or so you could translate this as a cohortative, and let us destroy, or as, and so that we might destroy also Hayoresh, the inheritor. This is just a simple call, participle from Yarash, to inherit. Everybody see that? Used as a noun. And so that we might even destroy the heir. Okay. Also, there's the pause there. Then you have ve kibu. This is from the root kaf, bet, he, kava, and it is a pl form, and it means to extinguish. The call form means to be extinguished. All right. So notice now she's talking her own words now. And they will extinguish gachalti. This is from gachelet. It means a burning piece of coal. And as a result, see, they will extinguish my burning coal, which nishara, which is left. And that's referring to her one living son. That nishara, again, is a nifal, perfect. Okay? Third feminine singular from sha'ar, to be left. They will extinguish my one burning coal, my burning coal, which is left. Labilti negates infinitive. So as not to put from seem, there's the infinitive right there, call infinitive, so as not to give, let ishi, to my husband, a name and a she'erit, remnant, okay, on the panei hadama, on the face of the land. That was a mouthful of a verse. Okay? So notice what she's saying. Look, all the family rose up against your handmaid, and they said, hand over the striker of his brother so that we might put him to death in exchange for the life of his brother whom he killed. And let us wipe out also the heir. Now, that's the end of the quote. Now they will extinguish my burning coal, which is left, so as not to give to my husband a name. So we could probably translate that labilti, with the result that they will not give to my husband a name or remnant on the face of the land. See? So she was worried that she has two sons. The one killed the other. They want to kill the son and take away the heir. The inheritance will be lost from, there will be no name raised up to her dead husband. It's a common kind of problem that we see in the Old Testament, all right? Again, notice overall how interesting David always gets tricked with these stories. Nathan, because you kind of already know as a reader what's going to happen. She's going to reveal, and there's a reason for her doing this. That's kind of funny. I don't know what it says about David or the significance of it kind of theologically. It's kind of interesting, but there you have it.
Or the culture.
Yeah, what's going on?
They couldn't convince the king out front. You had to ministry.
Yeah, you had to do something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had to trap. It's kind of interesting. All right? All right, very good, you guys. Thank you. And again, we'll be here in 2 weeks, and we'll start with verse 8.